St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let Word of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Would you turn to Exodus chapter 17? Chapter number 17. And we'll parade and peruse the periphery of verse 7 through verse 16. We got a couple other services on today, so I'll try to be as brief but powerful as possible. Amen? Amen. You have Exodus 17, and you're looking at verse number 7. I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 The book of Exodus is part of what we call the Pentateuch, which is one of the five books of Moses. Exodus being the second book helps to describe what happened after the children of Israel was freed from Egypt. This book is in its entirety is a representation of when we finally come to salvation, after we in Genesis find the fallen state of man, and then once we find the sin and the fallen state of man and the separation of man from God and the judgment of God through Noah, and then how God tried to replenish the earth through Noah and his sons. And then here we are with the book of Exodus, and it tells how they went into Egypt to seek comfort, to seek for ability to be sustained during the famine. And now it's time to go because of the taskmasters in Egypt. The Bible says that there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. In other words, he didn't understand the people because they had no representation. Amen? Amen. We can kind of say that now is what we're about to go through. Amen? Amen. But nevertheless, we find that God had always had a deliverer that he raised up by the name, the greatest lawgiver, by the name of Moses. Amen? Moses, he is our personality of focus on this morning, because when we look at Moses, he really, really did not, he wouldn't have qualified as your pastor in this day, amen, because Moses had murdered a man, amen. Moses said, well, I'd rather just be a loner and just not fool with people at all. And I'll just go out and I'd just, you know, keep some sheep for my father-in-law. He married a woman and he went hid out in the backside of the desert, but God saw him. And how many know that no matter where you are, God sees you? Amen. No matter what you've done, God can use you. Amen. That ought to encourage somebody today. And no matter what you've done, God can still use you. Amen. And no matter where you are, God can still see you. Amen. Moses thought he was hiding from people because he fled because of his murder that he committed in Egypt. He said, well, let me go into Midian and let me find somebody. Go to one of the priests of Midian and let me find him and I could be just a shepherd. And God said, Moses, this is not what I called you to. I've called you to something greater than just that. Amen. And so here it is. The Bible says that now in Exodus, when they came out, they went through the Red Sea. They had a whole bunch of miracles that happened. But now here they are. God allowed them to go through the wilderness. Amen. And somehow it seems like this is a perfect progression of the life of a person who gets to know God and they become saved because they come out of Egypt, which represents the world, and they end up seeing God do miracles in their life, and they can testify of the miracles in their life as they see, like we've seen how he opened up the Red Sea. It seemed like sometime when it seemed the enemy is on your trail, God somehow opens up an opportunity for you to escape what he's trying to do. Amen. And then once they're on the other side of the Red Sea, they have nothing to eat. And so all of a sudden they cry out to God and God just rains down manna from heaven. Isn't that something? Don't you know that when you first get saved, it seems like God just do stuff just because he just wanted. You know, the Bible says that with love and kindness, I've drawn thee. God just, he sucks you in with that love and kindness. Every time you pray, I got a job. I didn't have it when I first got saved. I got a promotion I didn't have when I first got saved. I got a whole bunch of things. I wish I had some people in here today. Do I have anybody? Just remember, just being connected to Living Word Church, just being connected to Pastor Holden. God has blessed you. I'm trying to tell you. And it's not because of me, but it's because of the God that we serve. Because I don't take any credit. I point toward God. Amen. Amen. I can testify. I look amongst the crowd and I see people in here today that God has blessed since they've been around. Amen. And so you go and you see that they were in the wilderness and they had manna from heaven. They were thirsty. And God said, well, you know, I'm not going to even send you to the river, but I want you in the wilderness because I have to teach you something. Isn't this something how even in the wilderness, we think that we got to go find something and we got to go leave the wilderness in order to get something that we need. And God said, no, all you got to do is look at me for what you need. Even in the wilderness, God gave them water from a rock. Do I have any witnesses in here? All of this is to let us know who Christ Jesus is, because Christ was that rock. He was the spiritual rock in which they drank from in the wilderness, according to 1 Corinthians 10. Now, the Bible tells us here that as Moses, they were in the wilderness. Don't you know that it seems like when we're in the wilderness, it seems like that's when things is worsening in our life. Amen. But the thing I like about this is that God told Pharaoh, he told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go so they can go and what? Worship me. Amen. So the most important thing here to key in on is that God wants us to worship him. And the whole reason why they were in the wilderness wasn't so that they can have money. It wasn't so that they can have fame. It wasn't so they can be just anointed in the wilderness. But they were in the wilderness so that they could worship God. Amen. And so that's why we got to realize that worship is so important to God that he will free you up so that you can worship him. Lord have mercy here. Lord have mercy. If something is in the way of you worshiping God, God will take it away from you. Lord have mercy. I'm just trying to tell you what the Lord loves, and that's the truth. Amen. That if something is in the way of you worshiping God, he will remove it. Amen. He will get it out of the way so that you can focus only on him. Now, as long as they were in Egypt, they can make their own money. As long as they were in Egypt, they had some food. As long as they was in Egypt, they had land and everything else. But God said, all of that is not worth it because you're not having time to worship me. So I must release you from this so that I can put you in a wilderness so it ain't nobody but you and me, and all you know is me. All you know is that I'm going to supply your need according to my riches in glory. Do I have a witness here? So here it is, that Moses in the wilderness with the children of Israel. It's about maybe 2 million of them approximately, the children of Israel, and they're out in the wilderness, and the fame of them have went out throughout all the country, and the people have heard about how they've come out of Egypt and what they did to Pharaoh, although they didn't do anything but run, and God did the work. Amen. Amen. So they all, the fame of them went out throughout all of the land. And here it is. We find out that Moses now is in the wilderness and God wants them to worship. Amen. You know what worship does for us? Worship deepens our relationship with God. You find a person that don't like worship, they get aggravated in worship, that person really don't have a deep relationship with God. They have a deep relationship with their time and with themselves, but they don't have a deep relationship with God. Amen? Because all they think about is my time and myself. Amen? It's all about me. I want to put me on the front instead of putting God up there. Amen? And so worship deepens our relationship with God. But as we deepen our relationship with God, it helps us worship. Helps us in the midst of the crisis. This was about the fifth crisis and the fifth miracle that they were about to experience. This is the fifth crisis that they had right there in the wilderness. And so they call on Moses, and Moses said, well, let me go and I got to pray. And so Moses had a relationship with God. It's good to be amongst people who have a relationship with God. Amen. Now, we can't all be the same in here. We got to have somebody to say, I got a relationship with God. We can't all just say, you know, we all just sinners and we don't know God. No, somebody got to know God in order for us to get to the presence of God, to intercede for us, to do whatever. Amen? Amen. I admonish you to deepen your relationship with God. If you're the only one in the family that goes to church, get closer to God. Come on and say amen here. If you're the only one amongst your friends that even pray or even think and talk about God, deepen your relationship. Because that is an intercession that is needed for those that are around you. Amen? Amen. So what is worship? Worship is when we pray and when we praise God. Amen. And we put all of that into one, and that becomes our worship, when we sacrifice unto him and we put him first. Amen. That's worship. And so Moses was in the wilderness with the children of Israel, and they were supposed to worship God. And verse 7 says this, and look, he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying that the Lord is the Lord among us or not. Amen. And sometime when you're in the wilderness, you want to ask the question, is the Lord with me? Is this what God wants? This is how I'm feeling. I don't feel like I can feel God's presence. What I'm going through, I don't know if God is right here with me or not. I must have done something wrong. You start feeling a certain way while you're in the wilderness. Amen. But when you deepen your relationship with God and you stop complaining and you start to worship God, you realize that God was with you the whole time. How could you forget so easily? Just a little while ago, he took you through the Red Sea. Yesterday, he let manna fall from heaven. And this morning, he let water come from a rock. But you still say, "Is God?" That's how we get. We're unsatisfied with God. We're unsatisfied with what he's done. We're unsatisfied with how good he's been. And we get to feeling like, oh, that's old. And we forget what God has done for us and how good he's been. That's why David said in Psalm 51, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Do I have anybody that said, "I'm just happy to be saved"? God, you don't have to do any miracles today. Just thank you for saving me. Thank you for raising me up. Thank you for helping me. That's all I want, God, is for you to do for me. Amen. Wake me up and let me praise you. Amen. But there was a crisis in the wilderness, and they didn't understand. Bible says that Moses gave him water from a rock, and he began to call the place Massah and Meribah. And he says the reason why Massah means the doubting, the questioning of God. We doubt and we question God way too much. Amen. Meribah means the argument, the contention, the strife, the complaining against God and his servant. Wow. We got so many people today, they complain against the preacher. I'm telling you, what if we just take the preacher away? Let's take the preacher. Let's take preachers away throughout time. Everything that we've accomplished, everything that everything we have today, there was somebody that gave a word to somebody to encourage them to make sure that they did it. Now take all the preachers away and where will we be? So why we complain about them? Amen? All right, let me leave that alone because it's quiet there. Where would we be today if we didn't have Martin Luther King? What would we be? What would we be without Moses? We would have no law. Everybody would do what they think was right in their own eyes. We would have no conscience about anything. We could just do what we want to do. Right? What if we didn't have that? What if we had no Jesus? He was a preacher. Okay. So here it was, they were complaining against God and the servant of God. Amen. And they questioned God whether he was with them or not. Amen. And he had just given them water from a rock. And then they went to a place called Rephidim, which means the refreshment. They had gotten refreshment in the wilderness. But you know what? While you're in the wilderness, even though God will give you some rest and some refreshment in the wilderness, you still got some stuff. The devil is still on your trail. He's still going to kick up. He's still going to act a fool. He's still going to come after you because his job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So while you're resting, while you're relaxing, while you're enjoying the refreshment of what God has done for you in the wilderness, the devil is he's conspiring for his next move. So we cannot stop. Amen? I think I forgot to give you the topic. The topic is the power of consistent worship. Amen? We cannot stop worshiping God because the enemy is consistently after us. We cannot stop. We have to be consistent in our worship because if we're not consistent in our worship, the enemy can take an opportunity when we're not in God's presence, when we're not in God's face. He can come in and try to wipe us out. But when you're in God's presence, you understand that no weapon formed against you will what? Prosper. Amen. Let me go on and get through here because I think getting a bit long on this. Moses in verse number 8 says, Amalekite came and they fought against Israel at Rephidim. The place where they should have been fresh, they were being attacked. And what happened here, what really happened is that the people who were in the back of the 2 million people line, long people, they were in the back, amen? And these were the people who were a little older, the people who were women and children, the people who were not warriors. They were in the back, and Amalekites came, and they went to the back of the line, and they attacked them from behind because they knew that that's where the weak stragglers would be, and they destroyed them and they killed them, which was wrong because Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And all that these children of Israel were trying to do was get back to the promised land, which the Amalekites knew that this was their land because they had to get the understanding from Esau and from his son that this, their cousins are going to come back one day and possess the land. Isn't it something how people that should be related to you in some type of way, whether it's blood related or friendship related, how sometimes they will attack you from the back door? Lord have mercy. They will come around the back and try to do something conniving and just dirty, something that they know. They have knowledge of who you are. They have knowledge of the mission, and they still try to down you on the backside. But look at this. The Bible says when Moses found out in verse 9, it says, Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now, when we look at this, he says, the rod of God in my hand. The rod of God represented the power of God. It represented the presence of God because that's what Moses used. Moses, what is in your hand? Moses said, I can't do anything. Moses, what is in your hand? He said, I got a rod, the rod that you gave me from the first day you called me to this. And so what he said, well, use the rod. And the rod opened up the Red Sea. Better yet, when we go back to Pharaoh's palace, the rod is what Moses used to smite the water and turn it into, you know, to do the plagues. He used the rod that when Pharaoh's magicians and all their knowledge dropped their rod and it turned to a snake, Moses' rod turned into a king snake and swallowed theirs up. Amen. And when Moses put his hand on the rod, it went back to being a rod. Do you know that this rod represented the power and the presence of God? And so Moses said, I'm going to go to the top of the hill with the power and presence of God, and I'm going to pray while you fight. Come on and say amen. See, some of us got to know something. We got to understand. Some of us are going to have to fight, but others, we're going to have to pray. Come on and say hallelujah. And so if I'm going to, if we're in a battle, we need to know our position. You can't do everything I'm doing. If all of us are on the hill, who's going to fight? If all of us are in the valley, who's going to pray? I wish I had somebody. We need to know our role, know your position. And when you get there, stay in your position. Stay in your role. Come on and say amen here. And so as they were preparing for battle, Joshua had to choose men. Joshua had to choose people that he trusted that could fight with him, that he knew was not afraid, that he knew could do this battle. I wish I had somebody. See, everybody's not able to battle. Some people are just not built to battle. Some people are just built to watch. And I hope you're not some of those people that's built to watch, because I need some people with me that's ready to battle. Because don't you know that the enemy's out to steal, kill him, to destroy? He's out. The Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody that's ready to lift God while he lifts us? Come on and say amen. I need some people that say, I'm not here to watch, Pastor. I'm here to fight. I'm not a spectator. I'm not just going to slide in on the pew and come and get a Sunday worship and then go home. I'm going to come here and I'm going to intercede for some people. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to lift him up, because I know that if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him. Do I have anybody in here? Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I need some people with me that say, I came to fight. I didn't come. The Bible tells us, Paul says, that we have to fight the good fight of faith. He said, war, a good warfare. We don't have, we think that this life is supposed to be a birthday party every day. It's not going to be a birthday party every day. It should be a war party every day. We ought to be crying out, Lord, I thank you I got victory this morning. Not because I made it to 44 or 45 years old, but because the enemy tried to destroy me at 38, but I'm still here. And oh Lord, have mercy here. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I know I've been in a battle, but the battle wasn't mine, it was the Lord's, and all I did was climb the hill and lifted up the power of God. Lord, have mercy up in this place today. He says this. He says that Moses said, I'm going to the hill and I'm going to take the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses said unto him. Some of you Joshuas need to do what Moses says do. Amen. Some of you Joshuas need to obey what God wants you to do. Amen. He said, choose our men. And he did. And he went and he fought, the Bible says in verse 10, against Amalek. And in verse 10 it says, Moses took Aaron and Hur, went up the hill with him. He took two men with him. He took Aaron and Hur. Aaron represents the priesthood. Amen. He represents the priesthood, and he took them up to the mountain with him. Amen. And as he went up to the mountain, he took not only Aaron, but he took Hur. Amen. He took Hur because Hur represents those who will support the man of God no matter what. Hur went up to the mountain with Aaron and Moses, and the Bible says that every time Moses lifted up his hand, and notice, I want you to notice something. When Moses lifted up his hand, he said, I got the rod of God in my hand. And I know preachers have taught it, and they said that Moses lifted his hands like this, but that's not how it happened. That's not what he did. He had a rod in his hand, and he had the rod of God up in the air, and he held it as long as he could, and his hands begin to get tired. Because the rod of God, when the people saw the rod of God, they said, that's the rod that got us deliverance. That's the rod that we have to see that got us deliverance from Egypt, that gave us what we need. I wish I had somebody. That's the rod that leads us, that no matter what we go through, that's the rod that keeps us going. Amen. And so what we got to understand is that when the rod was lifted up, that was Moses' way of saying, God, I'm in your face here. I'm here not only to pray to you, but I'm here to worship you, because now I know how this thing works. Moses said, because you said we get the promised land, so we can't lose right here. So I just came up this hill to say thank you, preach. I just came up this hill to say I appreciate what you gave us. I just came up this hill to say I appreciate the victory. I appreciate the anointing. I appreciate the power that you've given me. I wish I had somebody. And while Moses was thanking God for everything that he had done, while he was up there worshiping, his hands began to get heavy. But Moses say, my spirit is willing, but my flesh getting a little weak, but I need some help. Moses knew that I'm going to need some help. The Bible says, look, he took Aaron and Hur. He said, well, two or three are gathered in my name. I'll be in the, he said, if I can just get a couple of folks that don't mind getting with me and let's have some church. If I can get two on this side and one on this side, I believe we can have some church. He said, I'm going up the hill and we're going to have church on top of the hill, but you fight down in the valley. So somebody in here need to see that if you in the valley, you just go ahead and fight. Let me climb this hill. Will you climb with me? And let's go up here and worship God. And while we keep our hands lifted, while we keep building him up, while we keep the presence of God on the high, I wish I had somebody. He said, the Bible says that when he lifted his hands, that Israel prevailed. But when his hands got weak, then Amalek prevailed. But then there was two men that had a good idea. I don't know which one of them had it. They said, let me go and find a rock. And they took this rock. Come on and say amen. They took this stone. The stone represents support. The stone represents rest and security. The stone represents foundation. They pushed this stone underneath Moses so that he could have somewhere to rest, somewhere to sit while he hold his hand up. But yet it had to be high enough for him to be, for the people in the valley to be able to see that he's still holding up the rod of God. I wish I had somebody. And so when they pushed this rock up under Moses, do you know who the rock was? The rock was Jesus Christ. He is my support. He is my foundation. He is my rest. He is my security. I wish I had a few people in here that whenever it seemed like you get a little tired, you need to just rest on the rock. Tell somebody, say, rest on the rock. Who is that rock? He's Jesus Christ. Moses said, I'm going to sit right here until the victory is won. I wish I had a few people that said, I'm going to sit right here and I'm going to let God have his way. I'm just going to keep worshiping God. I'm going to keep praising God. No matter what happens, I'm going to stay right here. Come on and say amen. The Bible says that Moses' hands were heavy, but they took the stone in verse 12, put under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed his hands, and the one on one side and the other on the other, and his hands were steady. I like that word, steady. See, what we got a problem with is being steady. In other words, being consistent. We can't be consistent and worship God. We let everything that we feel guide us. Pastor, I feel this and I feel that, but I'm going to steady worship God. I don't care what I feel. I feel sad, but I'm worshiping God. I feel happy, I'm still worshiping God. I might feel angry, but in my zeal for God, I'm going to worship him. I wish I had a few people. Yeah, I had some people talk about me, lie on me. I got the devil chomping at me right now. But you think I'm not going to worship God? Yes, I'm going to worship God because he's the only one that can keep me sane. He's the only one that can keep me doing from doing something I wouldn't want to be doing. I wish I had somebody. So